There we go. Good evening, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm thrilled to be your host tonight for the second in a series of telephone budget sessions for the City of Mississauga. Joining me this evening are Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 2 Councillor Karen Raz, and Ward 6 Councillor Ron Starr, along with members of the City's leadership team.
Good evening, everyone. It's Mayor Crombie.
Good evening, it's Karen Raz, Ward 2.
Good evening, it's Ron Starr from Ward 6.
Before we hear more from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a telephone budget session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga, including Wards 2 and 6, are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We will hear from the mayor and councillors shortly. They're here with other city staff tonight to talk about the city's 2018 budget. After that, it will be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and staff, and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2018 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you have a question about the 2018 city budget, but don't get a chance to ask it during our session tonight, you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will also be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time over the next hour, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you will be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When you press star 3 to ask your question, you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Remember to make sure your question is about the 2018 budget and priorities for next year. Finally, if you don't feel comfortable asking your question live, you can tell the operator that you'd like to have your question read aloud by the moderator. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this telephone budget session with Mayor Crombie, Councillor Raz, Councillor Starr, and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I'd like to invite the mayor and councillors to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the 2018 city budget?
Welcome and thank you all for joining us this evening. Developing the city's annual budget is one of the most important things we do each and every year. The city's business plan and budget processes shows how the city turns on our vision, our goals, and priorities into action. As our 2018 business plan and budget takes shape, we remain committed to, first, delivering the right services, second, demonstrating value for tax dollars, third, maintaining our infrastructure in a state of good repair, and fourth, moving forward on our long-term strategic goals. The budget process is also important as an open and democratic process. Through your elected representatives or by getting involved directly in the process, you have your say in how the budget is approved. There are a number of challenges facing the city today. Aging infrastructure. Roughly 65% of city buildings are more than 20 years old. Almost one-third of these buildings are more than 40 years old. Costs are increasing, which impacts the cost to deliver services and maintain our infrastructure. Changing demographics, which impact the services we provide and the way that we engage our stakeholders. At the same time, we need to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure Mississauga continues to be a great city with the high quality of life that residents enjoy today. One way we're doing this is by investing in moving people through Mississauga with a reliable transit system, providing more transit service hours, completing the Mississauga Transitway, and moving ahead with the Huron Ontario Light Rail Transit. We're also looking at how to build, enhance, and invest in our downtown and waterfront. But we can't fund everything that we would like, and that means that we have to make some tough choices. The business plan and budget process is how we make those key decisions. That's why it's so important for you to stay connected and engaged in the process. I have a number of my colleagues here tonight to help answer your questions, and we look forward to hearing from you. But before I turn things over to the moderator, I'd like to invite Councillor Rass and Councillor Starr to say a few opening remarks. Councillor Rass?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you everybody for participating this evening. You have an opportunity to have input into our budget process either through this or a really interesting budget allocator tool that you can find online. But I want to hear from Ward 2 residents. If you're unable to provide input tonight, I'm having a Ward 2 budget meeting on Tuesday, November 7th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Lauren Park Secondary School. I hope to see you there. Also, I want to hear from you about your thoughts on the regional budget. It's separate and apart from this process, but does make up about 45% of your property tax bill. So send me your comments directly to karen.raz@mississauga.ca. Thank you for your time tonight, and I look forward to the conversation.
And now I invite Councillor Ron Starr to make some comments.
Thank you, Mayor. It's very important to have public resident input, and we all know that a budget is a tough document to do, and it's tougher to make sure that we work efficiently and in the best interests of all the taxpayers. Budget sessions like this are very important because we get to talk to the average citizen from the grassroots level to tell us what you think. We need to know whether it's arts that is important to you, transit, whether it's parks. You have to tell us how you think that we can manage the city better. And we do listen, by the way. It's important that we take all those comments that you are going to tell us, that you will either write us, or if you can't talk tonight to us, let us know. We're always open. My office door is always open for discussion. A budget is always a moving document, and it isn't always fixed. So we need your input tonight and in the future to make sure that we make your city a better place to live and play. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator for this evening's telephone budget session. And I'm pleased to be here with Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 2 Councillor Karen Rass, Ward 6 Councillor Ron Starr, and staff from the city to talk about the 2018 budget. Just a reminder, you can press star 3 on your phone at any time to get in line to ask a question. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2018. In a short while, we will be taking live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this telephone budget session to do quick polls. Let's do one now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds with your answer. Please listen to all of the answers before making your selection. Here's my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. For parks and forestry, press 5. Again, that question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. For parks and forestry, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up in a few minutes. Now, we're going to go to a first question that is coming to us online. I'll begin by asking the mayor, Mayor Crombie, what is the status of the construction of the Here Ontario Light Rail Transit Initiative?
Well, that's an excellent online question. We thank you very much for it, because you know that one of our key priorities is enhancing our public transit system, particularly through MyWay. But next year, we're very excited that the province of Ontario has invested $1.4 billion into the construction of the light rail transit to form the north-south spine of a regionally integrated transit network. The LRT will travel north-south along Here Ontario, 20 kilometres with 22 stops. It will connect GO train stations at Port Credit and at Cooksville, and it will loop around the downtown and then continue up to Brampton. We're very excited that we should break ground later in 2018. And I have our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, here with me tonight, and perhaps he can give us a further update. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. The Here Ontario Light Rail Transit Project is in the RFP phase. An RFP was issued in August of this year for a design, build, finance, operate, and maintain contract to three shortlisted firms. That RFP is expected to close in the spring of 2018, and then an award is expected in the fall of 2018, and as the mayor mentioned, construction would follow shortly after that. And then is expected to continue for an additional 4 years with construction wrapping up towards the end of 2022.
Thank you for that. And don't forget to dial *3 on your phone keypad to get in line to ask a question of the mayor, councillors, or city staff. Our next question comes live to us from John. John, what's your question?
I wonder if this budget is balanced. I mean, the province of Ontario is $400 billion in the debt, and are we taking a slice of that action, or are we exempt from supporting tax-wise Toronto and or the province of Ontario?
John, it's Mayor Crombie, and it's an excellent question. And the reality is that we are running a balanced budget. We're required to, and we do so. Our operating budget is approximately, of course, this changes every year. Last year it was $750 million, and our capital budget was in and around $200 million. And you'll be happy to know that, yes, in fact, it is balanced. I'm going to pass it on to our city manager, Janice Baker, who's going to make a few more comments about our budget for you.
Thank you, John. As the mayor has stated, under the Municipal Act, no municipality in Ontario actually can run an operating deficit. And of course, we have no responsibility for any of the deficits that the province may have. And municipalities are amongst the most fiscally responsible governments, I think, in Canada. So hopefully that gives you some level of comfort in terms of our fiscal position.
Don't forget, you can ask a question live, just like John, by dialing *3 on your keypad, and you'll be put through to speak with the mayor, councillors, and city staff. Our next question is for Councillor Raz, and the question comes to us online. Councillor Raz, will the city be budgeting to deal with cankerworms?
Thank you very much. It's Councillor Raz. That's an excellent question. It's not just a Ward 2 problem. I know that we were devastated by cankerworms and gypsy moths this year. And it is my hope that when a corporate report comes forward in November that we are going to be actioning it and doing some aerial spraying with a very safe product that will bring our trees back from the stress that they've been experiencing over the last few years. With that, I'm going to hand it off to Paul Mitchum to see if he can add anything to that, but it is my going to continue to advocate that this makes it into the 2018 budget. Thank you.
So thank you, Councillor Rass. With regard to aerial spray, we are currently in the process of assessing insect populations. We're assessing both gypsy moth and cankerworm, as the councillor had said, that at this point, based on the populations that we've observed, we will be recommending aerial spray. Aerial spray, as you may remember, was last conducted, I think, in 2006, 2007. And we sprayed in those years within the Wards 1 and Ward 2 areas. This year, we're seeing some populations in the Mississauga Road area as well. So that our plan at this point is to come forward to council with a report mid-November with recommendations for aerial spray.
Thank you for that. And just a reminder, dial star 3 on your phone keypad to be put in line with your question for the mayor, councillors, and staff. Our next question has come to us and is directed to Councillor Starr. And this question is asking about the $1 senior fare for transit and other senior subsidies in Mississauga. Councillor Starr.
Thank you. That's a multi-pronged question because there are a number of subsidies that are available for seniors, but they're at a certain income level. The dollar fare was instituted or tried on a trial basis some time back, and it is now a permanent institution on my way, and still limited hours, though, but it is permanent now. There are many subsidies for seniors, depending on the income level, whether it's snow clearing, there's also leaf pickup. There's many, many programs. And I think the best thing to do is maybe have our community services or perhaps somebody from Transportation and Works speak to that. So I'm going to – we have probably about 6 or 8 programs. I don't know if they can elaborate just a little bit on those, and we can get you further information on that.
Thank you, Councillor Starr. So in addition to the comments that were provided, yes, the city has made permanent the senior $1 fare program, and that allows seniors to ride My Way during the off-peak period for $1. And in addition to that, there are a number of additional subsidies on top of that. And so for such things as winter maintenance, that's available for that we also have aligned with that is the windrow program for snow that accumulates on your driveway. There's a number of programs that are available, and maybe I'll just kind of quickly run through those. So there's the Seniors and Disabled Property Tax Rebate Program. There's the Stormwater Subsidy Program. There's the Yard Maintenance Subsidy Program. There's the Active Assist Program. I talked about the Driveway Windrow Snow Cooling Program. In addition to the senior $1 fare, there's also the My Way Affordable Transit Program, which Council has also recently made into a permanent program. And so that kind of wraps up the municipal portion of the financial assistance for older adults. So thanks very much. It's a great question.
Our next question is for the mayor, and the question has been asked to read aloud. Mayor, how is the city preparing itself for the effects of climate change?
Oh, this is an excellent question. I really thank you for it. And I believe the city is truly showing leadership on this front when we've seen the impact of climate change in the south of us with the hurricanes that have come through and the effect of Irma and Harvey in Houston and in Florida. I want all our residents to know that the city of Mississauga is taking great care to prepare, to adapt, and to mitigate the effects of climate change. In fact, it was 2 councils ago that we announced that we have joined the Covenant of Mayors, to be known as the Compact of Mayors, with cities like Paris and Rome and Tokyo. So we're very pleased that the city has a stormwater levy, and it has allowed us to prepare for the damage that storms can cause. Once upon a time, those heavy storms were every 10 years, and now they seem to be coming every 4 years. We saw the effects of the rainstorms that occurred in 2009 and in 2013, both the rainstorms and ice storms as well. So we have a stormwater levy, which allows us to put away approximately $40 to $42 million each year. It is a dedicated fund. That means the money that goes into that fund as a result of the stormwater levy cannot be spent on other matters, but only on preparation and climate change adaptation and mitigation to help reinforce our sewer pipes, our catch basins, our creek erosions, our stormwater management ponds, and our drainage systems. So I think that our city, unlike others, are well prepared for future storms. And I'll also pass the question on to Paul Mitchum, our Commissioner for Community Services, to make a few comments as well.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie. Mayor Crombie indicated, we've been very active on the climate change file with any number of initiatives in both mitigation and adaptation. On the mitigation side, the transit expansion has been a priority for us for the last 5 years plus. We've converted streetlights to LED, arena lighting to LED, introduced a new building controls, and we've embarked on a program to plant more than 1 million trees. As the mayor also noted, we've recently joined the Compact of Mayors and have launched for 2018 the development of a comprehensive climate change plan. The plan is funded by council. We've secured a consultant. We're bringing a project report outline to council very shortly. But in 2018, we hope to consult with the community with respect to climate change measures, both for the corporation of the City of Mississauga and for the city at large. So we're looking forward to a great year in 2018 for climate change.
Thank you for that. And again, don't forget to dial *3 to get in line to ask a question of the mayor, councillors, or city staff. Our next question comes to us live from Tony. Tony, what's your question?
Hello, I'd like to thank the mayor and council for this innovative outreach, so thank you for that. Of course, when we're talking about budgets, there's two sides of the equation. There's always the spend side, which seems to get a lot of the discussion. But I'm curious as what council and the mayor has in consideration in terms of the spend or the revenue generation side. Are we looking at higher taxes to pay for all these additional services, or what are we going to do to raise revenue in the region?
Tony, that's a very thoughtful question, and it's excellent. We had a discussion earlier, I hope you were online, when we talked about the fact that municipalities have balanced budgets. I'll share with you that we only have three sources of revenue available to us, and we aren't permitted by the Municipal Act to make profit. So our three sources of revenue are, of course, our property taxes, our development charges, secondly, and thirdly, we do have user fees because we believe in cost recovery, so user fees with respect to transit, recreation, and permits. Those all we generate revenue through cost recovery when issuing permits, and we charge obviously in the fare box when our residents ride on transit. But we also go a long way to looking for savings for our residents. For instance, last year we generated $4 million in savings. This year we predict to save about the same amount. When we look at the course of the past decade, the city manager has challenged different departments over time to cut 1%. And over time, that has evolved now through a lean process. So we're looking for greater efficiencies to deliver services and programs through lean. And as a result of both of these initiatives, I'm happy to report to you that we've saved over $52 million over 10 years through savings for our residents during the budget process. I'm going to ask one of our commissioners also to our commissioner Gary Kent, our commissioner of corporate services, to make a few comments about the budget as well.
Well, thank you, Mayor Crombie, and thanks for the question. And I think the mayor answered it fairly well. Another source of revenue that we have is from gas tax from both the federal and the provincial levels of government. We get around $50 million from that. And also we get, for example, today at General Committee, the airport was there, and we get a payment in lieu of taxes from the airport. That's around $26 million. All in all, our user fees are about one-third of the revenue that we raise. But your point, or your question really was, are taxes going up? And property taxes actually are about 60% of our revenue. When we last reported to council in June, we had forecast an increase on the blended rate, so between the region, the city, and the province, of just around 3%. So on November the 20th, we will release our proposed budget, and you'll see that there. We don't profit from any of our services, and it's all really on a cost recovery basis. And I think the mayor mentioned that of your property tax, only 34% of the revenue comes to the City of Mississauga, 45% goes to the region of Peel, and 21% goes to the province for your education taxes. Thanks for your question.
Don't forget to dial *3 so that you can get in line to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and staff. Our next question comes to us online, and it's from a Ward 6 resident. Khalid asks, how is it decided which parks are to be renovated? River Grove Park needs renovation. Councillor Starr.
Great question and great timing, because as a matter of fact, in my next newsletter, we're going to tell you all about River Grove's new park upgrade and the park and playground equipment and seating. It's all happening. As a matter of fact, the tenders are out right now for the work to be done, and we hope to have it all completed by May or June of next year. We're also going to have additional seating for seniors in that area, not only in that park, but other parks in Ward 6. We do assess every situation separately. We have hundreds of parks and grounds that we have to cover and review. And we do it conscientiously and try to keep them up to date as much as possible. And I'm going to just ask maybe Paul Mitchum just to take a quick run at that and tell us what happens internally.
Thank you, Councillor Starr. We in the park area have what we call an asset management plan, so that we start by looking at the assets in the park from a life cycle point of view. And as they approach the end of their life cycle, we conduct a facility audit where we would consult with the community, with stakeholders that might be using a particular park, with the area councillor and so on, to determine the life cycle and when redevelopment shall occur. At the same time, as we develop new parks, and there are new parks being developed in different areas of the city on an annual basis, in those areas we rely upon our master planning to determine what amenities are to be built out within those park locations. But almost without exception, we're building our parks to accommodate the needs of all people, but certainly for the needs of young people in terms of playgrounds, sport fields, splash pads, trails, and so on. So that's the basic framework for our park plan.
Thank you for that. Our next question comes to us live from Jesse. Jesse, what's your question? Jesse, are you there to ask a question? I'll ask Jesse's question on their behalf, and it has to do with snow removal. Mayor?
Jesse, it's an excellent question. I know you called it in, and maybe we lost you, but the question is about snow removal and whether we provide services. And of course, we do provide snow removal in the city. We also offer programs for those who can't afford snow removal on their own, or those who may be incapacitated or have physical limitations, or for seniors. The program costs $200. And for those who can't afford it, we do offer limited a number of services as well for those who can't afford it. And I'm going to pass this on to our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, and he's going to fill you in a little more on the snow removal program.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie, and thanks, Jesse, for the question around winter maintenance. So we have a budget of about $23 million for winter maintenance, and what that provides us is a budget to maintain about 5,600 lane kilometers of roads in Mississauga, about 2,200 lane kilometers of sidewalks, and approximately 3,600 bus stops. So that's a pretty comprehensive program. And through that, we use about 45,000 tons of salt, but that obviously depends on the weather that's out there in terms of how cold it is. But also aligned with that, we also use about 9,000 tons of pre-treated salt as well on our sidewalks and bus stops. An interesting program that we've also recently adopted is before a major winter event, we'll often go out and do a brine application or an anti-icing. And that's to really get on top of the snow and to make sure that really to reduce the adhesion from the snow to the roadway. So that kind of gives you a bit of an overview on our winter maintenance program, and we'd be hope that answers your questions. Thanks very much.
Thank you for that. Just another reminder, dial *3 on your keypad and you'll get put in line to ask your question of the mayor, councillors, and city staff. Our next question is from Madison. Madison, would you like to ask your question?
Hi, my question is regarding the budget for accessibility, for physical accessibility around the city, and if we're going to reach that 2025 accessibility date.
Madison, another great question, and I'll let you know that we do have an accessibility advisory committee that does assist us with our budgeting, our budget process and budget allocation. And I'm going to ask our city manager, Janice Baker, to describe that for you.
Thank you for your question, Madison, and thank you, Mayor Crombie. Madison, in terms of how we develop our accessibility budget, we do have dedicated staff and a team that look at accessibility, but really accessibility is at the heart of a lot of what we do around improvements to our buildings, to our parks, to our infrastructure. We're currently, for example, have a program now where we are rolling out new accessibility standards on our roadways at intersections, to make those safer for individuals who are visually impaired. And so really we embed accessibility into all of the capital improvements that we make, our programming, our website. I think for us to understand exactly how much we budget for accessibility is difficult because it's just a part of what we do. It's a very, very important element of all of our program and capital design. And certainly we are on track to meet all of our accessibility targets. And as the mayor has indicated, we have a wonderful group of citizens who advise us on accessibility requirements as well as the legislative requirements that have come from the province. So we're very proud of where we are as a city around accessibility. Thank you for your question.
Thanks for that. Our next question comes from Zalora. Zalora, what's your question? I will ask Zalora's question. What are the plans to help seniors afford transit?
Thank you, Zalora. It's Mayor Crombie. I think I'll kick this one off, but because there are many plans to assist our seniors with transit fares. In fact, we always put all of our policies through a lens of will it accommodate our seniors, will it meet their needs, whether it's housing or transit or recreation. So first, let me tell you that we do have a seniors discount with respect to their monthly passes or Presto cards. Secondly, if you can shift the time of your travel into off-peak hours, we now have a permanent program of a $1 fare in the fare box in off-peak hours for all seniors. And finally, if you need assistance, we do have an affordable transit program available to those seniors who need a little bit more assistance. And I'm going to ask our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, to fill you in on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie, and thanks, Laura, for the question about transit and fares for seniors. So in addition to Mayor Crombie's comments, just to give you the information that's out there, the Presto monthly pass for seniors is $61 a month. That breaks down into $21 for 10 tickets, but the Presto single fare for seniors is $2. And as the mayor mentioned, the council has recently made permanent the senior $1 fare program. And that's valid on weekdays during off-peak travel between 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and then again after 7 p.m. Until the close of business on transit. So that's just that's one way that in terms of how seniors' fares are managed. The other aspect that we take into consideration around transit is how the trips are planned and how the service is provided as well. So we're going through what's called My Way 5, which is really looking at how service is provided across the city. And I would encourage you to check out My Way's website to learn more about how the transit routes are being adjusted to better serve the community. So thanks for the question about transit.
If you're just joining us, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm joined tonight by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 6 Councillor Ron Starr, Ward 2 Councillor Karen Raz, and members of the city's leadership team. They're here to answer your questions about the city's budget for 2018. Remember, you can press *3 on your phone keypad at any time to let us know you'd like to ask our speakers a question, or type the question into the question field for those of you online. We're going to go to our next question from Carlos. Carlos, what's your question?
Yes, I would like to know what progress is being made on the GO Transit, on the Milton GO Transit line, the two-way service.
Carlos, that's music to my ears. It's our number one key transit priority is all-day, two-way GO train service on that Milton line. And our council has moved the radar and put that issue in front of both the federal and the provincial government. All-day, two-way GO train service on the Milton line would be a real game-changer for us. When you think about the fact that Mississauga today is a net importer of jobs, that means more people start and end their day in Mississauga or drive into work because of all the jobs we have here, 500,000 jobs and more than 88,000 businesses that we have, 73 Fortune 500 companies. People drive into work or need to take a GO train into work rather than drive out. So we need that GO train to move into Mississauga in the morning take people back to Toronto in the evening. We have been working with the federal and the provincial governments to make them aware that they need to remove the freight train traffic on the southern CP line and open it up for commuter traffic so this can be a reality. Now, we're all talking about it. We all need it to happen. However, of course, there are budget constraints, but I know that both our federal and provincial governments are making headway with discussions with both CN and CP so that down the road, this will become a reality. We can easily create what's called the missing link, which is 20 kilometers of track along the 407 corridor where the CN rail line runs currently. And CP and CN could run, they call it co-locating, operate together to free up that southern CP line that travels through Mississauga, Milton, from Milton to Lisgar, to Meadowvale, to Streetsville, to Arendale, Cooksville, and of course to Dundas. So imagine the change that could occur along those transit hubs if that train moved in both directions all day long. And so we've been advocating for it. They're aware of it. They're talking about it. They're meeting to discuss it. And I don't know if our commissioner wants to add anything more, but he can certainly try. I know it's on everyone's radar. We all want it to become reality. And certainly it's just the funding, I think, is the last issue. So I'll ask our Commissioner Jeff Wright from Transportation and Works to make a few comments as well.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. The only other comment I think I would add at this point is the Metrolinx Regional Transportation Plan. And so Metrolinx, who runs GO Transit and is developing right now sort of the next phase of the Regional Transportation Plan, they've released a draft plan, and that's out for public engagement right now. So I would actually invite you to go onto the Metrolinx website where you can take a look at the Regional Transportation Plan and provide your feedback and obviously I think your support for improved GO Transit service in Mississauga along the Milton line. And we'll be taking a report to our council, I believe it's mid-November around this, with some staff comments on the Regional Transportation Plan, which will include and reflect upon Mayor Crombie's recent comments tonight around expanded GO service on the Milton line. So thanks for your question.
Thank you for that. Our next question comes to us online from Ward 2 and is for Councillor Raz. Will there be more money for traffic calming measures? Councillor.
Thank you very much for that question. This is Councillor Raz. And certainly traffic's probably the number one issue I hear about most days. People are concerned about speeding, pedestrian safety, cycling safety. And one of the things that we've done recently is reconstitute the Road Safety Committee. It's going to be made up of a number of citizens, have Peel Police, OPP, and we're going to be having a renewed focus of road safety and with a goal of Vision Zero, which is zero accidents on our roadways. So with that, there'll be additional education and awareness, but certainly we've seen some very successful pilots of traffic calming measures, and it is my plan through the budget process to have some enhanced traffic calming measures throughout Ward 2, and I'm sure other councillors are on board with that to help make our neighbourhood safer. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. There's still time to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and city staff this evening by dialing *3 on your keypad. Our next question comes to us from Zanette. Zanette, what's your question?
My question is, how are the property taxes assessed every year? Because I see that it's a big jump every year, and I just need to know how are they assessing it?
Zanette, it's Mayor Crombie speaking. I think I'm going to attack your question in two different fronts. First, the mill rate is assessed each year by MPAC, and I'm going to allow one of our Jeff Jackson, our Director of Finance, to answer that. But if you're speaking about property tax increases, please know that our council is extremely fiscally conservative. We don't like big tax increases. We promised as a group to ensure that tax increases stated in and around the rate of inflation. So if you notice, our increases have been, last year 2.9% was the blended rate. The year before that it was even less, I believe it was 2.6%. So we always have a target in mind that we just don't want to go above a certain level, and we look for ways to find savings, cut back, defer projects so that tax increases are strategic. We do invest in certain areas like transit, but we don't want to burden our taxpayers, and we have seniors on fixed incomes, and all of us are taxpayers as well. So we want tax increases to be affordable and stay at the rate of inflation. So I will ask our Director of Finance, Jeff Jackson, to make a few comments on how taxes are assessed each year as well, please.
Hi, Sadat. Property taxes, or not taxes, but the property valuation is provided by the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, or MPAC. And the assessment is done every 4 years. The most recent assessment, the values for those dates were as of January 1st, 2016. They're phased in over 4 years. So if your assessment or property value had increased over the last few years, you will see a little bit more in each year. And by 2020, they will be at their maximum. MPAC is an independent entity from the city. We have no input into how they do it. And essentially, the provincial legislation requires us to take the value that MPAC has assigned to your property, multiply it by the tax rate which the city and the region set, and that becomes the taxes on your property. Hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Our next question comes to us from Linda. Linda, what's your question?
Hello, did you say Linda?
Yes, please. Linda, go ahead.
Well, so my concern was around Bombardier and their involvement in the light rail transit along Highway 10. I listen to talk radio, and I hear a lot about complaints about Bombardier and the bailouts and how late they are with the delivery of their product, which, you know, those of us that run businesses would never get away with. I don't know why they are. So I want to make sure that in the tender process, which, you know, I don't expect it to be a public thing right now, but in that tender process, that, you know, there's a lot of weight being given to other organizations and not just Bombardier because they're Canadian, because they really can't deliver.
Linda, it's Mayor Crombie. You're right. So Bombardier, I believe the first cars off the line from Bombardier go to the city of Toronto. If for any reason they can't make their commitment, they will source Alstom vehicles. And our contract for the Here Ontario Light Rail Transit will be with Alstom. And I will ask our Director of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, to further comment on our LRT cars.
Hi, Linda. It's Jeff Wright from Transportation and Work. So your question on Bombardier, so you'd be pleased to know, I guess, in Mississauga on the Here Ontario Light Rail project, it'll be Alstom that will be delivering the light rail vehicles on behalf of Metrolinx for this particular project. Metrolinx made that decision earlier this year. They announced an agreement or a contract with Alstom for the supply and delivery of light rail vehicles for this project. I think that decision that Metrolinx made took into consideration your comments around Bombardier and some of the challenges that are being experienced by other light rail projects, specifically in Toronto and Waterloo, on the delivery of those vehicles. So that has been taken into consideration, and Bombardier will not be supplying vehicles for the Here Ontario Light Rail project. But thanks, it's a great question.
There's still time to ask a question of the mayor, councillors, or city staff, so please dial *3 on your keypad to get in line. Our next question comes to us from Thomas, and Thomas has asked to have his question read aloud. Any plans to link Pearson Airport to Mississauga's GO Train station?
Thomas, it's an excellent question. We've seen the success of the UP Express, Union Pearson Express, and so of course we're always looking for ways to, you know, really enhance our transit ways, whether it's the LRT, the new bus transit system, or our MyWay Transit, and we're always looking for greater links to our transit hubs, and of course Toronto Pearson is one area, is one stop where many residents need to travel to. So our bus rapid transitway, the transitway, will have a stop at Renforth Gateway. It'll be the final stop. It'll open later this year, and it will connect with the cross, with Eglinton Crosstown when it is completed, and our residents will be able to take the Eglinton Crosstown right into the airport. Also, at our Square One Transit Terminal, GO buses are available because it's a GO bus terminal as well for easy access to the airport. So I will ask our Commissioner of Transportation and Public Works whether he sees any more connections to GO train stations or other connections to the airport from Mississauga.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. And I guess just to add a few more points to what's been said already about transit service to the airport, specifically connections to GO Transit. So the Mississauga Transitway, which the last station is set to open next month in November, and we currently provide service along the transitway today, and we provide integrated bus services directly to the airport via Route 107 that travels along the transitway into the airport, but also we have Route 7, which also provides service up into the airport. So we'll be looking at how we make direct connections from the transway into the airport, not only from a bus service perspective, but also looking to partner and explore options with Metrolinx and the City of Toronto and the airport around an extension of the Eglinton Crosstown light rail service, which would run through the Renforth Gateway up into Pearson Airport. The airport is also now looking at their master plan and their vision for the future. And as part of their vision, they're looking at the Pearson Transportation Center. And that's really looking at centering a number of different transit projects into the airport, which would include the two projects I talked about earlier, about the Mississauga Transitway and the Eglinton LRT project. But it's, and so backing up into Mississauga, it's really through those two projects where we will have direct connections to our GO train stations. So the Transitway will provide connections to the GO bus service, the GO bus network, but also integrating with the future Here Ontario light rail service, which would then provide more direct connections to the Cooksville GO station and also to the Port Credit GO station. So that kind of gives you a bit of an overview how our transit service is integrated and connects with the GO transit service.
Thank you for that. Our next question comes from Mozam. Mozam, what is your question?
Hello, everyone, Madam Crombie, Councillor, and everyone who is present. My question is with regard to LRT. I understand it's a big capital cost, but what impact would it have on the individual citizen of Mississauga in regard to the how we're going to pay for it?
Well, Sam, it's Mayor Crombie. I have some very good news for you. Because of the because we have one of the strongest business cases for higher order transit, the LRT project along here Ontario will be 100% funded by the provincial government. It is a $1.4 billion project. Yes, the city has incurred some engineering design costs earlier on, but the balance of the project will be funded by the province. And I'm going to ask our Commissioner of Transportation and Public Works to make some additional comments on the funding of the LRT.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. So you are correct. The full capital cost of the program, the $1.4 billion, is 100% provincially funded. The city has been working in partnership with Metrolinx, and we've had a number of reports before our council this year. We had a report earlier before the summer break around looking at ways that we could enhance the corridor experience. So the city is investing an additional $26 million into what's called corridor enhancements to really support the experience of the LRT around urban design, streetscape perspective. There was actually a report at General Committee today that sought to advance funding from our capital program to be included as part of the Metrolinx project. And that's really looking at infrastructure works like storm sewers that we would normally be required to upgrade at a future date. But from an efficiency perspective, we're looking at getting the Metrolinx contractor to do that work as part of their work. And then the residual question that we'll be reporting back to our council on in the future is around the operations and maintenance costs for running the LRT system. So the contractor that's responsible for the design and construction will also be responsible for operating and maintaining the light rail system. But we still need to negotiate an agreement with Metrolinx in terms of who picks up the remainder of the operation and maintenance costs. So that's a future discussion we have to have with our council. And we look forward to getting into an agreement with Metrolinx and reporting back on the outcome of that.
Thank you for that. Our next question comes to us online from Ward 6 for Councillor Starr. And the question is, how is the city addressing the need for more arts, culture, and heritage programs? Councillor.
That's a great question. And there are many examples of what we're trying to do as a city and with all the departments to make sure that we do have a vibrant city, that we do recognize that we need culture, we do need the arts, and we do need to preserve our heritage. The examples of public art, I think you can see in the city core area around Celebration Square, around the Arundel GO station, you can see examples of great artwork there. And at the Riverwood Park, we just opened up the Pine Sanctuary, which if you haven't seen it yet, stop down to Burnenthorpe and Arundel Station Road, and you can see what a great example we have. The Mississauga Arts Council is also trying to emphasize more and more activities with all levels and all organizations and with youth, seniors, to provide many avenues of entertainment and the arts for them. The entertainment at the Living Arts Center and especially at the Mississauga at the Celebration Square is phenomenal. We're experiencing over 1 million travelers coming to that area. So we do have a lot of areas we're expanding on, and we're expending some dollars, but we're expending them wisely. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And our next question has also come online from Ward 2 for Councillor Raz. What is happening with Sheridan Park? Councillor.
Thank you very much for the question. It's Councillor Raz. And for those of you that don't know, Sheridan Park has been looking a little dated in recent years. There's a lot of green space, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes. We recently completed a master plan that allows for greater heights within the research park, and we're getting new tenants. I'm pleased to say that it was recently announced that the new National Research Center, the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, is going to be building a new building with creating about 100 new jobs in the building, and it's going to be right next to the Xerox Research Center and the Research Innovation Hub. So amazing things are happening there. I'm looking for more great companies to go to the park and set up shop and set up in our wonderful city, because we have such great talent here. So it's a great question, but there is progress being made, and I'm hope that as more companies enter the park, they will help keep taxes low for our residents. So excellent question. Thank you.
We're coming to the end of our time together this evening. There have been so many great questions and robust conversation tonight. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's telephone budget session?
Yes, thank you, Jody, and thank you, everyone. There really were some great questions tonight on the budget, but on a whole range of issues, local issues in Ward 2 and in Ward 6, and citywide issues as well. We will continue to work on our plan to successfully deliver on the needs of our city while always keeping our business priorities and strategic goals in mind. We're committed to respecting taxpayers' dollars by delivering great services, maintaining infrastructure, and spending resources wisely. There are many ways that you can find out more about what the city is doing and why, and to stay engaged in the budget process. Again, this year, the City of Mississauga has an online budget allocator tool that allows you to share your opinion by selecting your preferred budget for 12 of our service areas. You can try the allocator, request a meeting for your community group, and find out a lot more information about the budget and the budget process on our website at mississauga.ca/budget. If you have a question or comment about the budget, you can also email the city at budget@mississauga.ca. You can also follow progress of budget discussions by following the city on
Facebook, and Twitter. Finally, you can attend or watch a budget committee meeting, which begins on November 20th. All budget committee meetings are open to the public and are live streamed on our website at mississauga.ca. So thank you. Thank you again for your participation tonight, and your input into the 2018 budget process is greatly appreciated.
Thanks again to everyone for their participation tonight. Remember, if you had a question and we didn't get a chance to hear from you tonight, you can send that question in an email to budget@mississauga.ca, where city staff will have a chance to review it and send you a response. Once again, the place to send that question is budget@mississauga.ca. Thanks for being part of this important event. Thanks for your interest and your questions. Have a wonderful evening.